you're listening to the Academic Writing Podcast,
brought to you by the Higher School of Economics.
My name is Imani.
And my name is Grant. And today we'll be talking about sources. This is the first part in a two-part series on this topic. Imani will start by reading a text. As you're listening to the text, look for the answers to the following questions. Question 1. What does it mean for there to be primary and secondary sources about for-profit colleges? Question 2. What is the graduation rate for first-time students?
An extensive body of literature exists on teaching practices in higher education. Although many different learning environments can be effective, both primary and secondary sources on American for-profit colleges and universities show that these institutions rarely promote student success. This growing sector of the higher education landscape generally deals with low-income and older students. Whereas other universities give students the individualized educational support that is indicated by a review of literature on best practices in higher education, for-profit colleges spend a fraction of the tuition cost on student instruction. Critics of for-profit education draw data from studies on the sector's low graduation rates, noting its 31% overall graduation rate and 12% graduation rate among students who have never attended college before. There is also hard evidence that those who attended for-profit colleges are less likely to be able to repay their student loans, as their education leaves them ill-equipped for higher-paying jobs. As new evidence emerges about for-profit colleges, it is worthwhile for policymakers to examine and regulate the sector in order to improve student outcomes.
Our first two words are primary source and secondary source. A primary source is a document that contains information obtained by research or observation that's not taken from other books. A secondary source, on the other hand, is a book or other source of information where the writer has taken the information from some other source and not collected it him or herself.
So a good way to remember this is that a primary source is things that you see firsthand, so direct research and direct observation that the researcher participated in.
Primary source can be used in the following way. On the one hand, there is just a single primary source for the death and its sender later denied the information. On the other hand, there are several authoritative and independent sources that indicate Edward II was first held at Corfu and later went to Italy, passing into the custody of his Italian kinsmen. So here we see the author talking about primary sources regarding the death of King Edward II.
An example for a secondary source is, to save time, the student mostly used secondary sources, meaning that the student looked at what other researchers had written and not gathered information him or herself.
Again, this was primary source and secondary source.
Our second, or third, depending on how you count it, word is body of literature. And a body of literature is just a collection of individual papers and works that are focused on the same topic.
Yeah, so if you're talking about maybe all the research that you did for a project you're doing, you can refer to that as your body of literature that you referred to. For example, while researching her term paper, the student noticed that an extensive body of literature exists on the effects of pesticides on groundwater.
You could also say, while there has been a growing body of literature dedicated to understanding the determinants of college student credit usage, a void exists related to the interrelationships among these important concepts.
So here, body of literature is kind of referring to the common trend in the field of study.
Again, that's body of literature.
The next word is actually not a word, but more of a phrase. A review of the literature. So this is very similar to the previous phrase, body of literature, but here we're actually doing something with it. So we're reviewing the information that's available on a particular topic.
As an example, in a review of the literature on experiential counseling, Greenberg and Goldman suggest that the best way for trainees to feel comfortable with exploring the emotional expression of their clients is through the exploration of their own emotional expression.
Right. So here, Greenberg and Goldman, who are the authors of this paper being cited, have gone over the literature, they've reviewed the literature, and come to a conclusion. So this is good for summarizing maybe all of the research that you've been doing on a topic.
And that's a review of the literature. Her next word is to draw data from. Like the previous word or phrase, this has to do with what you're doing with the information that you've gathered for your paper.
Consider it in the following sentence. This study primarily draws data from the county's northeastern region. So here we're using this phrase to explain where we got our data from, how we're compiling our information.
Or another example, just as important as being able to draw data from extensive banks is phrasing the results in terms that are relevant to the political, legislative, budgetary, or judicial processes. Again, that's to draw data from.
Our next word is to attribute. This means to say or believe something is the result of a particular thing, or to say or believe that somebody is responsible for doing something, especially for saying something, for writing something, or for painting something. So, for example, you would attribute the Mona Lisa to Leonardo da Vinci.
Or you could say, this research is attributed to our university's most renowned professor.
So to attribute here basically gives someone ownership, number one, or number two, it talks about something being the result of something else. So these are kind of the two basic meanings for to attribute, and they're both very useful when sourcing information. Again, that word is to attribute.
Our next phrase is to deal with. To deal with means to be about something or to use to address or solve a problem or perform a task.
This article deals with the effects of gambling on society. You could rephrase this as saying, this article will address or will look at the effects of gambling on society. So these are synonyms for to deal with in this sense.
Right, or this article is about gambling on society.
Correct.
Also means the same thing.
Correct.
And again, that's to deal with.
Our last word for this podcast is evidence. Evidence are facts, signs, or objects that make you believe that something is true. This is kind of the foundation of research and making conclusions.
And this is a word you can use all throughout your research and throughout your papers. You can use it with a lot of different adjectives. For example, you could say there's weak evidence or strong evidence or new evidence or hard evidence that supports something or doesn't support, fails to support another theory.
Right. Let me use it in a sentence really quick. Obviously, this source has many flaws and presents little in terms of hard evidence about his life, but it expresses a unique portrayal nonetheless. So it's not just evidence, it's hard evidence, which is much different than weak evidence, for example.
Or, new evidence has been brought to light in our research.
Again, the word is evidence.
Now you'll hear Grant read the sample text again, a little slower.
An extensive body of literature exists on teaching practices in higher education. Although many different learning environments can be effective, both primary and secondary sources on American for-profit colleges and universities shows that these institutions rarely promote student success. This growing sector of the higher education landscape generally deals with low income and older students. Whereas other universities give students the individualized educational support that is indicated by a review of the literature on best practices in higher education, for-profit colleges spend a fraction of the tuition cost on student instruction. Critics of for-profit education draw data from studies on the sector's low graduation rates, noting its 31% overall graduation rate and 12% graduation rate among students who have never attended college before. There is also hard evidence that those who attend for-profit colleges are less likely to be able to repay their student loans, as their education leaves them ill-equipped for higher-paying jobs. As new evidence emerges about for-profit colleges, it is worthwhile for policymakers to examine and regulate the sector in order to improve student outcomes.
Now we'll just give you a few questions to review. How would you describe observation data on the firsthand experiences of the researcher? A primary source.
Which of today's words can be used to convey ownership? to attribute.
What phrasal verb would you use to explain the source of your information? To draw data from.
Which of today's words is most likely to be heard in a courtroom? Evidence.
Thanks for listening to the Academic Writing Podcast.
Brought to you by the Higher School of Economics. My name is Grant.
And my name is Imani.
Be sure to check us out at academics.hse.ru/podcasts, where you can find a PDF version of today's cast.
You can also download our podcasts on iTunes. Thanks for listening.